everyone, welcome to another episode of the Let's Do It Afraid podcast. Today, I'm really excited. You guys are in for such a special treat. We have an incredible human being, an incredible artist. He has more than 5,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. He has more than 7,000 followers on Instagram. Some of his biggest hits include Por qué, La Deuda, and Pacto, just to name a few. Everyone, please welcome André.
Thank you. Hi. Hi.
Hi, Andre. I'm so happy. I'm so excited you're here. I really just want to say thank you so much. I know you took time out of your precious work to be here with us. And I know that just speaks to how really kind you are. You're so humble. You are always willing to help anyone and everyone out. I know that you're the kind of person that would like literally take your shirt off of your back and give it to somebody that's in need because that's just the kind of human that you are. And I think that that's also why so many people really love and resonate with your music because I think that they can hear that love for humanity that you have. So thank you so much. I'm so blessed to have you here. We're both really blessed to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it very much. And I'm actually grateful because, yeah, I didn't have to go to work today because I'm like, you know what? I get to do this and I'm not going to work. Let's just do this. You know, like, I put my music and everything before any job at this moment in my life right now. So.
I understand you were kind of going through a lot. I know you recently moved back home, so I know that you've been going through a lot, but I also know that music is very important to you. So,
Very important to
yeah, I know that always, that's like your main thing, that's your passion, and you know, the other things are just to pay the bills, right? But this is
Yeah,
like
exactly. Yeah, exactly. But hopefully one day the music's paying
Yes.
the
Yes.
bills, right?
That is the ultimate goal, and I'm sure I know it's going to happen for sure. One day you won't need to have a second job. You'll just be able to focus on your music.
Yeah, hopefully. Thank you. Thank you.
So the
Thank
first
you.
question, you're welcome. The first question that we like to start all of our interviews with is, what is a fear that you are currently struggling with today?
Oh man. Okay, so that's interesting. I have just started, so I just moved back, right, to Chicago. I just started I want to say like a month or two ago, I had just did my first ever performance out here. And since then, it's been nothing but shows. You know, I've probably done around four or five performances already since being here. Whether it's a pop-up performance or if it's like a showcase or even just doing one of my own shows where it's just me headlining doing a whole hour set. I've been struggling with like really bad anxiety before my shows, you know. So sometimes I was talking to with my manager about this, my music manager, and I was telling him that, for example, I just did a pop-up performance in Chicago in the city. I want to say Saturday, and it was a 4 a.m. pop-up performance. So they wanted me to go perform at 4 a.m. And so I went. But I feel like I didn't really get a chance to have much fun prior to the performance because I'm like really anxious. It's a new setting, a lot of people. It's a 4 a.m. set. So we're surrounded by a lot of like, you know, drunk people, a lot of things going on, everyone vibing in their own world. And my thing is, like, for something like that, is I get really afraid of messing up the vibe for anybody, you know. And it's a really bad anxiety where I don't even like to drink before then. I try to like stay away from anything that'll like mess up my mental. But even then, I'm sitting there and I'm already messing my own self up, you know. So I've been really trying to practice and see what I can do to kind of shy away from that anxiety. Because I feel like it does not, I wouldn't say it ruins my night because it doesn't. Obviously, you know, I have a really good time, but I tend to be really out the zone prior to going on a stage or something, you know? So those are things that I've been trying to really set straight is my anxiety.
Do you think that it has to do because you moved and you're kind of starting over in a new area, or did you kind of have this stage fright when you were here as well?
I feel like it was a little bit different back in California because I feel like the settings that we were in when we were doing shows in California weren't as intense as the settings that I'm in when I'm here. And on top of that, I feel like over there, I was going to shows with, with people who are really close to me, one, but they're also doing the same thing that I'm doing. For example, like Zeilani, Days, Belu, like my closest friends, they're doing the same thing. So they're in the same mental place as I am, as opposed to, and I have that comfort from them, excuse me, as opposed to here where I'm the only one doing it. And the only people that are there to support me are my friends, but they don't get it because they're in their own world having fun. They're celebrating me and they're having such a blast because they're like, oh my God, Andre, like he's about to perform. Let's get drunk. Let's do this. Let's celebrate. So when he goes on stage, we're ready. And I'm there like, shook. I don't even, But yeah, I feel like it has changed a little bit because I don't have that, that feeling where you're like, they can relate. I have people with me that can actually relate to what I'm going through, and we can talk and we can, kind of get each other through it. Whereas here, I don't have that, so.
You don't have like that security blanket, that support, like you said, yet. I'm sure you will find people like that
Oh,
hopefully soon
I
in
mean,
Chicago.
I would say I do have the support. Don't get me wrong. Like my friends, my team, they're very, very supportive. They're always trying to check in with me. But it's just different when you have like other artists or someone with you experiencing that same exact feeling that you're experiencing,
Is there anything that kind of helps you in that moment when you're dealing with that anxiety or the stage fright? Yvette and I both have talked about how when we were younger, we really loved singing, but the stage fright got so bad for me that I just couldn't perform anymore. I couldn't find a way to overcome that anxiety and just the feeling of like, I'm gonna throw up. I can't do this. My voice shakes. I can't, like just completely paralyzed on stage. So I really admire people that have that stage fright, but they're able to push through it. So what is something that kind of helps you in that moment to overcome it?
Getting on stage. Getting on stage. Like I said, I have that really bad anxiety before I go on. But I don't know. There's something about as soon as you get on stage, at least for me, that it all just goes away. And then I'm being flooded with like this adrenaline, And that's the addicting part, is the adrenaline. And that's why I love doing it so much, because at first it's anxiety, but I don't know how I do it. I can't really tell you, but that anxiety is just turned into adrenaline, and then I'm on stage, and once I do the first song, for example, you start seeing everybody just like, okay, who's this guy? Whoa, all right, let's, oh my God, like where'd this guy come from? And then they start like chanting and having a blast with me, and then that just turns into fuel, and then the rest of the show, I kind of just forget about it. And then I get off stage and I'm like, oh my God, that was crazy. Like, let's do it again,
And I think you did hit a really good point when you're like, you just got to get on stage. And that's the thing is, we're never going to stop being afraid. And maybe we're always going to have that stage fright. Maybe it's always going to be there. But the fact that you don't let it stop you, I think that's what makes a difference. And that's what allows you to do it because it's mental, right? And you're like, I'm afraid and I'm feeling anxious right now, but I'm going to do it anyway. And that's like the whole point of this podcast, right? It's like we're gonna do it even when we're afraid.
Overcome everything. Yeah. And for example, for Saturday, being very anxious and all that, I still find a way to do what I love. And I had to come to terms with the fact that like, okay, if I really love what I do, I have to be able to overcome everything that's going to come my way. Everything that comes with what I do, like I'm sure a doctor isn't afraid of doing a surgery, like they're not supposed to be afraid of doing that. They have to do it. That's a part of their job. So for example, as a being an artist, like a part of my job is not just recording, not just being on social media, but it's also being an entertainer. And I have to be able to get on stage and entertain people and put on a performance if that's what I want to do, so I've had to come to terms with that. Like, this is what I want to do. I have to do it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Like, I can't just say, okay, I'm gonna be on social media all day posting videos, or doing content in the studio 24 hours, if at the end of the day I can't even showcase my music because I'm too scared, so
Yeah,
and
I feel
you're
you.
like,
Sorry, Yvette.
don't know. I'm saying I feel him, but like for me, it's I don't know like if COVID made a difference. Sorry, my girl's in the back. She's
You're
coughing up
okay.
a storm. But I don't know if COVID made a difference for you at all. But for me, like after virtual work, it was really comfortable for me to work at home because it was like more flexible and much more accommodating to what I needed. But that's one thing that I'm just like, I don't get used, like I'm not used to the personal interactions as much anymore. So like, I mean, with my family, I'm always around my family and I'm comfortable, right? But when it comes to like going out and meeting new people and talking about work and trying to promote yourself and things of that nature, like it's not, I'm not in the music realm, but I'm for business purposes, I still have to go out there and reach out to people, make those connections, because at the end of the day, like even for the podcast, like I tell Myra, we have to go to these meetings and meet people because it's like, it's not just going to be online. Not everything's online. We'd love for it to be that way in TikTok and things of that nature, but what if TikTok goes away? Or what if like all those, you just never know, right? So we have to make those connections and keep those connections going because at the end of the day, that goes way farther than just any kind of marketing online or working online. Because also that's part of your job, right? You have to go and perform. And for me, I'm like, I just, with my anxiety, I'm like barely managing it and finding ways to cope with it. But after that, I can't sing in public or like at family outings because I'm like, everybody's staring at me. Like, just don't look at me, please. But I like have to go hide in a corner and then I'm like loving it, but I'm like, please don't look at me.
I took COVID. COVID for me actually was a turning point when it came to that. That's when I started taking this a lot more serious. You know,
Okay.
that's when I was, you know, I felt like this was what I wanted to do. You know, I feel like prior to COVID, I was kind of still up in the air. I was still learning a lot about music. And even having had done it for so long, COVID was just a big turning point, I feel like, for me. But no, I get it. You know, this is a part of it. I saw a quote the other day, well, not the other day, I'd say probably a few months ago, that has helped me a lot with this. And it's, don't worry twice. You know, you can't worry twice about something because you worry once, you know, and it hasn't even happened yet, you know. So for me, prior to my shows, like for example, this show Saturday was very important to me because this was a pop-up performance that we call it, right? Although it was at 4 a.m., which is crazy because I don't even know why a nightclub's open 6, 7 a.m., right? But to tell an artist, pull up at 4 a.m., we want to do a pop-up performance to see so we can set up an actual show for you. I had really bad anxiety, but I wasn't scared leading up to the day. I didn't get anxious until I was already there, you know? And I feel like that helped me a lot. That helped me a lot. And like I said, that quote, no, you can't worry twice. If I would have been worried and anxious throughout the whole week, I just feel like I would have killed the entire energy for myself, you know?
Yeah, I really like that quote. Thank you for sharing that. You're right. You can't, if you're worrying about what's going to happen, you are worrying about it twice because you're going to worry about what hasn't happened and then you're going to be worried about it when it actually does
Happen.
happen. Something that Elani said when I asked him this question that really stuck out to me was that he kind of starts with a song that he's really familiar with, that he feels really confident with, that's maybe something in his lower register. You can kind of like feel out the crowd with. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if I would have known that, I mean, when I was singing, he was a little boy. So I'm like, if I would have known that, like that would have made such a difference in my life. Because you're right, there's something about starting with a song that you feel really confident and comfortable with, and then kind of like feeling it out. And then you're like, okay, I can do this. You know, it builds up. And there really is nothing like seeing an artist in person. I love to go to concerts. Like that is my favorite thing to do in the world, because even if you know the songs and you've heard them 1,000 times in your car, there's nothing like being in an environment with all these people around you. And you're kind of feeding off of each other's energy and you just feel so much like love and peace in that moment.
No, and that's true actually. Having performed with Zaylani a lot, he usually, I would say he actually comes with like his board, like the stuff that he knows everyone, you know, is gonna love, you know. So he pulls the crowd right away, you know. So
Yeah.
that's.
It just made it was like, oh my gosh, like why didn't you tell me this when you were 5 and I was 6, you know? I was thinking that, of course you didn't know that at the time, right? So Andre, like I said, you at the beginning of the episode, you have so many listeners, monthly listeners on Spotify. I know you started your career, you know, A long time ago. Maybe you started taking it more seriously in 2020, but you've been singing for a really long time. You were born in Chicago, but your family is from Honduras. In your own words, how would you describe André, the human?
Okay, that's a really good question. I wasn't prepared for that one. Hold on. So I would say I am an innovative person. I have gone through a lot of experiences in my life that have caused me to become who I am, right? Just like anyone else. But I haven't let any of my experiences really tarnish my reputation or tarnish who I wanted to be or want to be. I tend to take a lot of the things that I've gone through and put them into what I love to do, which is my own therapy, music. And because of that, I feel like I've been able to overcome a lot of things. I always try to remain humble and always try to keep a smile on my face. No matter what, the people around me have also taught me a lot, because of their experiences, my family, my mother coming here at a young age, my dad who, came here in the 90s, and he had to overcome a lot of things, and just my siblings, my grandparents, even my friends that I'm with who have also gone through a lot of things in their life, and that has helped me just shape what I want to do in my life and who I want to be. And I've never let anything stop me from that. So I would say that that's who Andre is. I try to represent my people. I try to represent my culture while also being myself. Representing myself.
Yes, and I would agree with everything you said. I think you described yourself like perfectly, maybe the exact, like that's how I think anyone would describe you, is that you are so kind and you are so humble and you always have the most kindest smile. So, that's exactly how we would describe you as well. And like you said, your family came here at a really young age and you are really, really close to your family. When I listen to your music and I hear the lyrics, I do think you bring a lot of like your personal life, and that's kind of like your therapy, right? That's kind of like where you let it all out.
I'm
And so,
very vulnerable when it comes to my music.
yes,
That's one thing I'm not
very,
very
yeah.
vulnerable. Yeah.
Yes, and I love that. I love that you're so vulnerable with your lyrics and the things that you share through your music. It allows people to kind of get to know you and to kind of understand who you are as a human being as well. And you talk about like, your values and your morals through your music as well. Like in that one of my favorite songs of yours is La Verdad that you did with Zailani. I love that song. And when you guys kind of say like, I just wanted the truth. Yo solamente quería la verdad. And I think that that's a true testament to the kind of music that you portray. It's like very honest, very real.
Yeah. It took a while to get there. It took a while to get there. When I started making music, I was always like, oh, you have to, have to rap about this. I have to do this. I have to do that because people don't like this. People don't like that. As I got older, I've been making music for 8 years, so as I got older and deeper into my career, right, I told myself, okay, well, let me just try to do something different. Let me step into a different lane. When I started doing Spanish music is when I feel like I started to become even more vulnerable. I was able to express myself a little bit more. And I feel like that's just because when you listen to a lot of Spanish music, depending on what genre, bachatas, merengues, they're actually really deep songs, even reggaeton stuff. Bad Bunny has a lot of, very deep songs, and so I took that and I was like, you know what? I want to just be more vulnerable with my music, and we're here. And so
Yeah,
far.
and that you do sing in both languages. I've noticed that as well. You do have some songs in Spanish, you have some songs in English as well. Sometimes you do both in the same song. So do you kind of prefer one or the other? Is there maybe one that speaks more to you than another one, than another language, or do you really just genuinely love to do both languages?
I like doing both. I gave up doing English completely during COVID, I would say. That's when I just fully gave it up. I was like, I'm never gonna make another English song ever again. But so I stepped into doing Spanish, and when I stepped into doing Spanish, I had actually there was a song called, I think it's called Me Fui, off of like my first ever EP in Spanish. And on that song, I threw in a little bit of English, and everybody loved it. So ever since then, there's some times where I'm recording a song, or there's some projects that I even have unreleased where I'll throw in just a tad bit of English in there, and I'll just blend it. But I love doing Spanish music. I feel like it represents me, it represents where I'm from, my people. And I have such a passion for, being Latino. Why stay where everything is just more saturated? Like, there's just so many more people doing that, and it's hard. You have to be very, very, very good to be able to be like an English rapper or artist. Like, you have to be a Kendrick Lamar to be able to get out, like a poetic person. And I feel like that's just not me. I'm not when it if you go back and maybe I don't even think I have any English music out anymore, but if you go back and listen to my English stuff, I wasn't. In my opinion, maybe someone might tell you differently, but in my opinion, I wasn't as good. I wasn't doing the same thing that I do in Spanish. Like, I feel like in Spanish, I'm a lot more versatile, just a lot better. I have access to a lot of more sentiment and words, so I love doing Spanish. I love doing Spanish.
I have a question. Like, does that have to do with, I know, like, when you talk in Spanish, when you translate a word, a lot of the times you lose the value. Like, it doesn't translate with the same meaning.
Oh,
And I
it
feel like
definitely.
that for me, when I'm, like, listening to any kind of Spanish music, it, like, hits me three times more than an English song.
You know
Like, Karim
exactly.
León, like, me raspa, like, I'm not
Exactly.
even heartbroken, but I'm heartbroken. Like,
Exactly. No, I swear it is. Like, I feel like in Spanish you just feel it more. Like, there's just the language is so beautiful, it just resonates with the listener a lot more.
Okay.
My opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I feel you 100%.
Yeah.
And I agree. That hit the nail on the head. It's like sometimes when you translate a word, it just doesn't have the same meaning. And Spanish is such a beautiful language, and there are certain words that you just cannot translate. Like, the meaning, the feeling is just not there. So, yeah, we definitely agree with you on that one. I love your Spanish music as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
I read somewhere that you recorded your first song around 7 years old with an older brother. Is that true?
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that kind of how you got started in the music? Is that kind of when you were like, ooh, I like that?
Yeah. Well, that was the moment in time in my life where I knew I wanted to do music when I got older. Like, as a kid, you see a bunch of things and you're like, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. When I get older, I want to do this or that. Well, that was my point in life where I was like, I want to make music when I get older. And it was because my older brother, he was a producer and an artist. He was a rapper. He lived in LA almost my whole life, but at the time he was in LA. Me and my mom, we'd go visit him frequently. One year we went to go visit him and we were out there probably for like a month. And he had a roommate who was an audio engineer, and he had like this professional big studio in his house. And so my brother would use it, and I remember just going into his house and seeing this big studio and being like, whoa, like that's cool. It was just a bunch of buttons, and it was intense. That day he told me, he's like, we should make a song, like we should do something, like I'll make you a beat, I'll help you write this song, and we should do something, And so we recorded two songs that day, and I was 7 years old. I was a kid. I remember like sitting there thinking I was so cool with a pen and a notebook, like trying to write down these lyrics that made no sense, And he would help me, and we ended up recording it. And the songs, I have them somewhere. I have them somewhere in my computer, my hard drive. But that
So
was,
cool that you still have those somewhere.
yeah. I love talking about that because that's such a vivid memory in my head, Such a
Yeah.
vivid memory. Yeah.
That's
We
so
were up
cool.
late too. Like, imagine me 7 years old, up till
Yeah.
4 or 5 in the morning, trying to make a song with my brother. It was so cool. Yeah.
Yeah, my youngest, he's almost 9, and when we go to my mom's house, he wants to, like, record stuff with Zeylani. So it's like
Yeah.
so cool. And yeah, it's cool that, like, we're able to kind of hold those things now, because obviously he can save them in his computer, and I'm like,
Right.
please save them. Like, I want him to hear this when he gets older.
Yeah, and back in the day it was tougher because it was a CD. Like, my brother had to burn it onto a CD, and the CD, like, we had to keep it. We only had one copy. So he had the copy in it. And I remember 6, 7 years ago, I remember he had given me the CD. So I put it onto my computer and I burned the project onto my computer so I was able to have it. So I have it somewhere. I have it somewhere, and hopefully one day I'll be able to pull it up because it's super funny.
Yeah, you should. You should like put it in, I don't know, put it somewhere, and I don't know, it might be fun to like add something in your CD or your song, you know, like even like a little, I don't know, something. It might be really cool.
But yeah, that was my inspiration for sure.
I love that. Thank you for sharing. What has been the biggest hurdle or obstacle you think in that you've had to kind of overcome in your life or in your music?
How deep can we get on this
We can get
podcast?
as deep as you want to get.
All right, I feel like I have two things. One, I feel like growing up, a big obstacle I had to get over was probably my parents' divorce when I was young. They got divorced probably when I was like 13, 14 years old. So that was a turning point for me, being young and not really understanding what was going on, thinking that like love was this one concept, then finding out that it's not, and then having to navigate that growing up and in different relationships and stuff like that. That was a hurdle. For sure, because even to this day, I'm still learning and navigating because of those things. But everything's good, right? Another one with my music, I feel like in my music, a big hurdle is my image and trying to really figure out what image I'm trying to portray, who I'm trying to be, how much I want to share the music that I make. Am I trying to impress anybody, or am I just trying to fulfill myself? That's an obstacle that I'm currently facing, is like my image. I don't try to put too much out there, but I also don't try to put too little, and just stuff like that. That's a big obstacle right now for sure. Trying to figure out who you are. I feel like with music it's tough because as an artist, people want to see or hear one thing. They see you and they have this set image in their head, like, okay, he's this type of person, he's gonna do this. But then let's say you hear me on a podcast like this and you're like, wait, I thought you were like this, I thought you were like that, and that becomes very confusing, not just to the listener, it starts to become very confusing to me because you don't want to lose a certain image, but then again you also don't want to be the egotistical person who's like, oh, I have to be like this while not being myself, so I'm in the process of
I feel like it's really hard because as we're evolving, like we can go through chapters, but then like you're like, how do I stay authentic? But we also need to evolve. So it's like, what part of us are we gonna let go of, and what part
that.
of us are we gonna continue? And then also like that set image that people have of us. But also we have to remember like we all have different phases and chapters. So it's really complicated, I guess. It's just like we're a complexity of things.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough, but with the support and help that I get, it makes it a lot easier, and I'm thankful for that for sure. I have a good group of people around me.
Yeah, and I think we never really stop evolving or growing. I mean, I'm almost going to be 40 and I still say I'm lost all the time and I have no idea who I am or what I like, and what I liked yesterday I might not like today. So it's like we're constantly evolving and kind of getting to know ourselves. But I will say that my favorite artists are always the ones that you can just tell are authentic, you know, and they're not trying to be anyone else but themselves. And I do see that in you. Like, I just see Andre. Like, I don't see you trying to be anybody else. You're just who you are. And you are very vulnerable through your music. And coming from a child also that my parents got divorced when I was 8, I definitely understand that it is a moment in time that really shapes you. I think for me, the biggest way that it's shaped me is now that I'm married. I feel like I have to work 10 times harder to make it work because I don't want to repeat the cycle.
Right.
And so it's something that you live with, I feel like, your whole life. So I totally understand it. I totally get where you're coming from.
No, that was, like I said, I'm only 24, so to me, I feel like for you're probably at a point in your life where you understand that this is a part of life. Like, these feelings that I'm feeling are just there. I've felt them before. I'll overcome them tomorrow. If I don't feel a certain way today, tomorrow I'll be okay. For me, it's different because I'm still in that place in my life where I'm like, ah, like what? What is this feeling I'm feeling right now? Like, why can't I understand what? This, for example, where I don't know. I get so confused. I'm so anxious. Is this gonna happen to me? What's gonna happen? And then, okay, tomorrow, what's gonna happen tomorrow, you know, and then my head's just all over the place. So
Yeah, oh my
yeah.
gosh, you're such a baby. You're only 24. I'm just like, you know, when I look at you and even, you know, Zeilani, I feel like you guys are older. And I don't mean that because you look old, but I almost feel like I don't know, like I feel like you guys have lived such a big life already.
There's a
You
lot of
know?
experience, I would say for
Yeah.
sure. A lot of
Yeah.
experience,
And so you guys are like old souls, you know. I don't feel like I'm talking to a 24-year-old, you know. I feel like I'm talking to somebody who's lived this like huge life experience. So that's crazy to me. You're so young.
I love hearing that now, but I don't want to be older. And someone's like, "Ah, you sound like an old soul." I'm like, I already
No,
it's not
no,
always mean. I'm just kidding. It's not
that
always for bad purposes. I feel like it's
was
good though because.
right.
Also, you're much more mature, and I feel like Zeilani, Andre, and then my brother and the other people that we have actually interviewed on the podcast, they come much more mature, and you would never think they're 24. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's why Zaylani and I are best friends. You know, we got along.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, like I said before, one of my favorite songs of yours is La Verdad. I love that song. I love the music video. I love the lyrics. I love the whole vibe of that song. And it's not just because Zeilani's on it. I just really, really love how both of your voices sound on that track. I know that you do write a lot of your own music. You also write music sometimes for other artists as well. So, what is the writing process like for you? Like, when you're going to write a song, do you kind of think about the music first, or do you think about the lyrics first, or is it kind of a mix of both?
It's a mix of both. It depends how I'm feeling, honestly. It's all about how I feel in that moment. You know, like if in that moment I'm hurting, I'm sad, then I'm just gonna put that on the paper, you know. But if I'm like happy or looking for, you know, just some party vibe, then I'll put that on as well, you know. It's just all about how I feel. So for, you know, La Verdad was a very intimate song. Like we had this beat that was so beautiful, and it like spoke to you, and it wasn't like something intense. It wasn't something that, you know, we had to be cursing or doing anything different, talking about bad stuff. You know, it was like I knew that it was gonna be a love song. It was gonna be like either a love hurts song, you know. And we did it here in my house. We Zeilani came out here with me for a month, and that was a day where we were both kind of just like, I don't even remember if we were necessarily like in the mood to record that day. I don't think we were like in the mood, but I had told him, I was like, let's do something. And we found this awesome instrumental, and we sat down. It was me, Zeilani, and another buddy of mine. And we just sat down, and we started just putting our feelings on the paper. You know, Zeilani and I were very close, like very close. So there's a lot of things that we know about each other, and sometimes we can bounce off each other's energy, you know, and we do bounce off each other's energy. So like when we're around each other, if he's not feeling right, then I'm not feeling right, you know, or if I'm not feeling right, he's not feeling right, you know. So it was just a perfect mix of everything, and we that's how we came up with La Verdad. It was just like we just put all of our feelings onto this one track, and it came out so beautiful. It came out so beautiful. That's one of my
Yeah.
favorite songs. It's literally one of my favorite
Yeah.
songs. Yeah.
It's a beautiful song and it's a beautiful video. I'm always intrigued by people that write their own music. I used to write poetry, which I mean, kind of, I guess, can be kind of similar, but it's, you know, different. But I've never actually written a song, so I'm always so intrigued by people, like how their mind works, you know, like how, I don't know, how the words just kind of just flow out of you know, and it kind of, and then it's just like this beautiful masterpiece.
I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier when you have other talented people with you, you know, when everyone's minds can just come together and form, you know. I'll be stuck sometimes on a bar, you know, and you know, for La Verdad, for example, I'll be stuck, you know, and Zeilani would come in and be like, hey, what about this? Dude, that works beautifully. Let's do it, you know? Or if he's stuck somewhere, I'll be like, hey, try this out, try this and that. Boom. You know, we lay it down. Also, that day, surprisingly, my friend Carlos was with us, and he's a big fan of music, but this was like his first time being in an environment of making the music, you know, and we made him a part of that. And because we made him a part of that, he also helped us a lot with the writing process, you know. So being optimistic and open to, you know, different ideas is very helpful. I'm in a phase right now in my music where I'm actually starting to get help from other people So a lot of my unreleased songs right now aren't fully 100% written by me, which is totally something totally different for me, because I'm for the last 8 years I've been so used to me writing my own music, you know, and this is one of the first times in my career where it's like, okay, you're taking it very serious. You have a team behind you. You have writers with you. You have marketers, promoters. You know, you have all these people with you. And now, remember, I was talking about the whole image thing, where it's like, okay, now you have to step into a different lane where I want to keep my image, but while at the same time, my music is starting to change. You know, so yeah, my writing process is very, very dependent on how I feel, to make a long answer short.
But we love long answers, so thank you. Thank you for sharing that. The times that I've had the pleasure of interacting with you, like I've said a thousand times on the interview, you are probably one of the most humble human beings that I have ever known. You come into the room, you hug everyone, you say hi to everyone. Like everyone, it feels like everyone is your family. Like you just love and you want to get to know them and you want to ask them questions and always with the, big beautiful smile on your face. So how do you stay so humble? Where do you think that comes from?
That comes from my parents, fully 100% from my parents. My parents are very humble people. I look up to them no matter what. And like I said, even through the divorce, like they still did their best to try to raise me to be the best person and to always be thankful and grateful for the things around me, you know, and teaching me values and morals, you know, just small stuff. For example, like when you go to someone's house, you know, take your shoes off, you have to shake hands or give a hug to everybody in the room, acknowledge everybody, you know, just little things like that. Never think that you're bigger or better than anybody, stuff like that, you know. And then also, I grew up in Honduras. I was born here, but I grew up in Honduras for a big part of my life. And then also, when I moved back here as a kid, I was still going back and forth from Honduras. I had a big culture shock, even though I grew up out there. I still had a big culture shock when I was about 18, 19, when I went back to Honduras. I feel like as an adult, I never fully paid attention to, you know, the life out there. And that was a big, big turning point for me, because growing up as a kid, you don't really pay attention to a lot of things that are going on around you. You don't, when I'm out there, I don't understand the poverty. I don't understand, you know, why some kids don't even have clothes, or why, you know, this house is made out of this, or, you know, or people struggling for a meal. Like, those are things that I didn't understand as a kid until you get older. And when I went back as an adult, I just had this crazy culture shock where I was like, I was in tears at one point, because I'm like, damn, like, I'm so blessed, you know, I'm so blessed, and I should never take anything for granted in my life, you know. That has kept me where I'm at mentally, with never thinking that I'm better than anybody or bigger than anybody, and I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, Yvette and I go to Mexico often too with our children, and we talk about that too, the importance of them seeing how other people are living compared to how they are living, because it does instill just feeling, and not because we're saying like, oh, we have more stuff than them or we're better than them or anything like that, but there's something about seeing people that are less fortunate making you realize how truly grateful you are for what you do have and not taking things for granted because you have them today, but they could easily be taken away from you tomorrow. But also, there's also really something special about someone who acknowledges you and kind of says hello. Like, there's this older gentleman at Safeway, and he goes and gets the carts out from or brings the carts back in. But every single time I go to Safeway, he has like the biggest smile on his face, and he's like, "Thank you for shopping at Safeway, ma'am." And it makes me feel really good because it's just something about when somebody acknowledges you and they see you. And like I said, when you would come into like my mom's house and into the living room, you really took the time to acknowledge everyone and say hi. And that could really make a difference in someone's life because at the end of the day, I think we all want to just be seen, and just acknowledged and just really, because sometimes when you're like we're alone a lot of the times, we're moms, we're doing a million things, we kind of forget that we're a person. At least I do. Like sometimes I forget that I'm a person. And so when somebody actually like acknowledges me, it's like, oh, thank you. Like I'm, like, yes, thank you for acknowledging
That
me.
makes me feel a lot better because I didn't even realize I had that effect. I just it just comes naturally, but to know that, that I had that effect on not just you, obviously, but a lot of people, because I even at my shows, I get off stage and Saturday, the show I did on Saturday, I get off stage and a lot of people, this is a really big nightclub in the city, it's like only big artists get to ever come on do this stage. And for me to be there, a lot of people thought that they didn't know me, right? Besides the people that came with me, nobody else knew me, and to them it felt like, right, to them seeing me perform on this stage was like, who is this guy? Like, how did he get on the stage? He must be somebody, little do they know I'm a nobody right now in my life, and I still got to go to work on Monday, right? And I get off stage and people are coming up to me and they're asking me for like pictures, and I had so many people come up to me and ask me for pictures and kind of ask me who I am or what I do, and oh, your social media, oh my God, and I always try my best to acknowledge everybody, and I now that you say that, I'm looking back and I'm like, wow, I can only imagine how some of these people probably felt with me just sitting there and talking with them, like, and it wasn't just like, oh, come take a picture and then, oh, smile, all right, I'll see you later, No, it was like I would take a picture with people and then I would sit there and I would talk with them and they would open up to me and, I'd tell them a little bit about myself, and it was conversations that you could tell people really appreciated that. And now that makes me so happy to know, though, because it just comes naturally. I've always tried to be, that. Just remain, humble and nice. I never wanted to ever think that I was
Yeah.
better than anybody. I always want to walk into a room and see everybody smile. I never like to walk into a room and, have just a bad energy floating around, no matter where it's at. So yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's important to kind of, I like the idea of leaving things better than how you found them, right? So even if that's a person, like when I leave that person, I want them to have a good interaction with me. I want them to be a that moment in time to be a blessing in their life, or if I go somewhere, I like to leave it better than how I found it. And that is exactly how you always make us feel. So thank you, because it does make such a big difference in anyone's life, I think, if somebody just acknowledges you. And especially if it's somebody that you, like you said, you look up to them and you're like, oh my gosh, this is huge artist, because you are big. You get the likes, you get people listening to your music, and I don't even think you do a lot. Like you don't do a lot of like marketing and all these things. Like people just listen to your music, and I think it's because they can feel how much you love humanity. And that's the kind of people that, I don't know, like love attracts other love. Does that make sense? Like I just feel like that's what you attract, is what you put out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, that is very true, actually. You're making me think so much right now. A lot of the things that you're saying, I don't even think about on a day-to-day basis. Like, this is very interesting. I like this.
Look, if it's just
Thank
who
you.
you are, speaking of the difference that you make, you do a lot of collaborations with a lot of artists. How is that experience for you?
I love collabing. I love collabing with, the people that I love. I'm at a point right now in my career where I have kind of taken a step back from working with people. And I don't feel like it's for any particular reason. I think it's just, well, it could be just because I haven't found anyone, to really be collabing with. But I just, the names that you did mention, Zaylani, Daze, Belu, like these aren't just artists that I collab with. They're also like one of my best friends, the people that I'm really close with that took me in and took care of me and loved me, and vice versa, right? Like, so with them it never felt like work, it was always fun. Like, we always wanted to do this. Let's work, let's do this, let's be better, let's make each other better. And right now in my career, I feel like I just haven't found it's like a drug. I've been searching for that. And I can't seem to find that. So when it comes to like collabing with artists, it's a little different. Remember I was talking about image and stuff like that. I'm in a place right now where it's hard to, collab with people, with artists in specific, because, some people just aren't doing what I'm doing, and it's very hard to have an artist who's, making English or R&B music and have them be like, oh, you want to do a Spanish song, or even so, like I have people who want me to jump on English tracks, and it's very hard. It's very tough to like, find a balance with somebody. But when it comes to like producers and stuff, it's a little different. I can reach out to producers and see if, they can make me a beat or something. And right now where I'm at, that's how I've been doing a little bit of my collabs is with a lot of producers. But yeah, no, I've always loved kind of making music with the people that I love. That's where I've been at. It's a different feeling. I don't know if you remember, but we used to be in the studio, over there late, just making song after song, having such a good time and never really caring about what time it was, and that's what made it fun. That's what made it fun, So
And maybe it's different now for you too, because like you said, you're really trying to find yourself. Like find your image and really figure out, okay, who am I and what kind of music do I want to make? And as much as you love to collab, sometimes you, like you said, you're kind of feeding off of each other's energy. And so right now it's probably easier to just kind of like block out all the noise and just really hone in on yourself and kind of figure out like, what do I like and who am I and what do I want to write about and what do I want to say?
It's funny because I actually just had this conversation the other day with Days, and it's about, when you hit a point, you have to be very careful who you collab with. Sadly, and I hate to say that because you just wish that there wasn't any malintention, in this industry, but sadly there is, and we have to accept that. Like we have to accept that you have to accept the fact that people there aren't. Sadly, right? There aren't good people in the world either. There's people who are malintended. They have bad intentions. They don't want to just work with you because they think you're good. They want to work with you because, oh, you can do something for me, but I can't do something for you, And so we're at that point right now where, things are going really well. For example, there might be an artist out there who is coming up, and they might have a few hundred followers and they just started making music, but their intention is, oh, like I want to get my numbers up. I want to do this because this is what it's about. Let me reach out to this guy because this guy, he looks like he has a big following. He can help me, And sometimes it's really hard to make those decisions. So yeah, right now it's been tough because I am trying to like keep that tunnel vision and make sure that I'm picking and choosing the right decisions, and working with the right people, but it gets tough. It gets really tough for sure.
But you do have to like respect your boundaries and kind of assess, right? Like what is the best decision for you? And I do agree. I think with like Belu or Days or Zeilani, it was just such a brotherhood and a sisterhood, right, with Days. But like a like it was really love. Like it was nothing with ill intent. It was never like, oh, what can you do for me and what can I do for you? It was just this love that you all had for each other, but also for music. It was family. It's family. So I do agree.
That's what made it so much easier, way easier. And at that point, you're like in this group, and then like one of us in the group would be like, hey, like this artist hit me up and they want to work, and then we'd all have to be like huddle up and be like, all right, like what are their intentions? Like what do they want to do? And we have to look out for each other now,
Yeah, it's totally different. So what are your future plans? Can you share your socials? I mean, where can people find you? What are some exciting things that are coming up?
My socials are, I'm very, very active on my Instagram. It's official underscore Andre, A-N, and then the D is replaced by a six, so official underscore Andre. Right now, I am in the process of, I have a vault of music that I'm making. I'm setting up a lot of songs. I would say probably about 20 songs right now, where I'm trying to just set myself up to a point where I can start releasing music and not have to worry about what's next. I am also right now in a big, like I said, I just started working with a team. I'm under a team called Top Quality Entertainment. My manager, Noe, He has been helping me a lot in trying to create an image, right? And also getting shows and different stuff on board so we can start pulling an audience. Because it's one thing to make, music, and I love making music, and I'll never stop making music, even if one day I don't make it. But I do want to make it. I do want to do something really big with this. So I have to start setting myself up for what that's going to look like, the image that I want to portray, the type of music I want to release, and the audience that I want to attract. So right now I have been doing a lot of shows. I just did a show out here at a little club called Social, where I'm from, and we had probably we filled up the venue. We filled up the venue. It was probably around 120, 130 people. And it was my own, show. It was one of my first ever own like headlining shows where it was me for an hour, no openers, no nothing. And that just opened the doors for so many opportunities, So right now the mission is to try to get performances, 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 performances. The funny thing is that the shows that I've been doing and that I'm going to start doing are all like in different settings than what I'm used to, like I'm starting to do nightclub shows, and that's like I said, it sucks because it's a part of what we have to do, but it's just like they're not your typical like bar or venue, they're nightclubs, and it's like that's never been my thing. I've never been the guy, like Zeilani will tell you, I've never been the guy to be like, let's go to this club, let's do that. Like, no, I'd rather stay at home, or let's just go hang out at the park or something. But these are different settings for me, so I'm trying to set myself up to be ready for that. These 4 a.m. shows aren't just a one-time, one deal. Like, I've already done two of these. I'm trying to set up a show in the city as well at the same club where I do like an hour performance, like a whole set to myself. And it's going to be one of my first paid shows, So these are things that I'm starting to accept that, okay, I have to do this in order to get to where I want. Like, if I want to get to an arena one day, I have to go through these little venues and try to get my name up. If today it's 300 people, tomorrow it could be 30,000 people, the right now is just really setting up that I'm doing a lot with marketing. I know you mentioned earlier that if you go on my Instagram, I don't really do a lot of marketing. No, I don't push a lot of promo. Even I don't I'm not you don't see me posting every single day. I'm not trying to, flood my Instagram with stuff. My TikTok is very low because I don't even flood my TikTok like that. But obviously with the image that I have and what I'm trying to do, I have to start doing those things.
Well, I'm really excited for you, and I hope that you're able to come back to California soon and
I
visit
will.
us. Yeah, you do kind of have to get out of your comfort zone to grow and to evolve and to kind of take your career to the next step, which is what you ultimately want. I just know that there's a lot of great things coming your way, and I'm just so happy and just grateful to know you as a human being. So the last two questions that we like to end all of our interviews with is, what's the worst advice that you've ever received, and what is the best advice that you've ever received?
I wouldn't say it's necessarily the worst advice I've received. It's more so like advice that I heard and I was like, that's not right, Like, I don't have to do that. I had somebody tell me the other day that I had to be in the studio every single day. Oh, you have to record over 100 songs. You have to have all these songs, record, 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 because if you're not recording, you're not getting better and all this stuff. And I took that and I'm like, no, dude, like, I'm not in the studio every day. I'm probably in the studio 3, 4 times a week, for 2 to 5 hours at a time, but I'm not like forcing myself to be in the studio every day because I think I need to get better. I took that as like, oh, this person only cares about like quantity over quality. Like, that's not going to get me anywhere. I can sit here and try to record 1,000 songs. But if they're not good, then what's the point of recording 1,000 songs,
Yeah.
So I've been focused a lot on like quality over quantity, and if
Yes.
I have to take a week on one song, I will. The best advice I received was probably from my manager right now. He just told me to remain myself. Just always be yourself. Don't change who you are because you're a dope person. And don't let
Yes.
anything ever get to your head. Always trust the people that have been there for me right now. And just be careful about who I let into my life. And that those are just things that resonate with me because it's true. I don't want to just let anybody into my life. And at this point where I'm at right now, I haven't. I've kept the same circle. I've kept the same, just the same people around me, So that has saved me from a lot of things, for sure.
Yeah, thank you. I like both of those. I do agree. I agree that it's better to have quality over quantity. And then the advice about you being yourself is the perfect advice because sometimes money and fame can change some people, and it's sad because at the end of the day, all those things can go away, but you're still you.
Right.
And so it's like as long as you are still you and the people around you like that matter the most, your family, your friends. Like that's to me, that's like you're already winning, right? Yeah.
Along the lines of that, a good advice was you can't be afraid of success. Some people, they get a little taste of success and then they're like, holy, like, I've never had this before. I don't know what to do. And they start freaking out. They overspend, they do make bad decisions, and then they're back to where they started, and then they try to chase that again, and they can never achieve it. So just can't ever be afraid of success, and that's why I always get on stage, even if I'm anxious. No matter how scared I am, I still get on that stage for
Thank
sure.
you. And that's a perfect way to end it. That's a perfect full circle moment. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Yvette. Thank you, Myra. Thank you, guys. All right.
Of course.
This was
No.
really cool.
Yeah, no, thank you. And like I said, I really hope you come back soon to California. We miss you over here.
Thank
And
you,
we'd love to see you. And cannot wait to see all the beautiful work that you do through your music and you releasing more music. And I'd love to see, I just can't wait to see your journey. So thank you so much for being here, for gracing us with your presence. And to our listeners, we know that you have loved this episode. So please like, comment, subscribe. And we will see you all next week.
thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye,
Thank
guys.
you.
Take care.
Thank you so much, Andres. Have a beautiful day.